Welcome to the Breakfast Leadership Show, where we interview global thought leaders on business, leadership, and life. Here's your host, keynote speaker, best-selling author, and chief burnout officer of the Breakfast Leadership Network, Michael Levitt.
Welcome back. I've got Paul Bramson on the line. Paul, how are you?
Good to see you, Michael. I'm doing well. How are you today?
I am awesome. It's a sunny day, so in Toronto, when that happens, we take advantage of it as I'm standing in a room with no windows. But that's
sunny, and hopefully it's warmer-ish in Toronto.
Yeah, define warm. Warm is to the beholder, I think.
Better than 32 Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
It's below 32 Fahrenheit. Okay. Right. But it's sunny, so it confuses us. We go, oh, it's sunny, it's warm. And then you go outside, no, it's not, but it's sunny, so we'll take it. So you do some amazing work. So for those that aren't familiar with your work yet, why don't you share a little bit about you, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Sure. I have a training keynote speaking company. I've been doing this now for over 22 years, working with sales, leadership, customer success, operational excellence, all different organizations, all different industries, all around the world. I've had the real fortunate experience with me and my team working with very strong brand name equity companies, which has just been a fascinating experience. And again, sales, leadership, communication, interviewing, presentation skills, and of course the keynotes, which are really popular right now. So yeah, it's a good ride. Having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And all of those things intertwine. Because as you were mentioning all of those things, I said, yeah, you get all those things right in your company, you're going to be okay. And
one of those things, right?
That's true. Don't try to change everything at once, because I learned that in my IT days, because if you change a bunch of things and it breaks, you don't know what actually caused the break. And all that happens is finger pointing and a lot of choice words, and it doesn't resolve the issue. So it's like start singular, see how it goes, and then like, all right, let's add this to the mix. And there's some commonalities between how you approach some things, and then there's stuff that's completely different as far as making some adjustments in your organization. Some people use the word change, but people tend to run from that word for some reason. So we'll say, we're going to make some adjustments, and they go, okay, that sounds more comfortable. Same thing, but it convinces people this is a little safer journey to roll these things out, because deep down they know that something is amiss in their organization and they want to improve it.
So that's right.
Over those, obviously 20 plus years of working together, I'm sure you've seen a lot of things that were, out of the box. Wow, this is amazing. And then a lot of commonalities. What are some of the things you've seen, and particularly over the last few years, because the last few years has been interesting, to say the least, when it came to the pandemic and inflation and war across the country, that kind of stuff. So I'm just curious to see some of your insight.
Wow. So when you say the last, I guess it's got to be 4 years now since the pandemic. So something that I have seen, there's been so much transformation. First of all, the Gen Zs are coming into the workplace. So that is a gigantic shift. So they're coming in, and then remote work, going back to the office, not going back to the office. Sales is slightly shifted in terms of how people are prospecting these days. Leadership needs to be much better from an emotional intelligence perspective, especially because it's a hybrid work environment, and especially because the younger generation, and by the way, generational does matter, they are much more in tune with their feelings, how they're spoken to, transparency. So, I just gave you probably a lot to unpack, but there's a lot going on here since the pandemic, and of course, after the pandemic. And those are the biggest things I'm seeing. I will tell you, though, that I'm really excited about the fact that companies are finally taking emotional intelligence seriously. It wasn't back in the early 2000s, this soft skill thing. Yeah. Even after the financial crisis, I can't believe I can still talk about the financial crisis. It seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago. The emotional intelligence, by the way, not on just leadership, emotional intelligence all across the workplace is incredibly important. So I'm really, I'm that and communication is something that I'm really fired up about. And I think, again, I'll give you a lot to unpack. And I'm also on cup number 8 of the coffee. So this is stuff that I've really noticed over the last 4 years. And I'm excited about it.
I am too. And I'm on cup 3, so I got to catch up.
All right, get up.
Exactly. I'm drinking water right now, so I'm hydrating. But that's all right. The coffee will be back in me in a moment. But yeah, you hit some key points there. And, you know, the emotional intelligence is definitely something that I'm seeing is starting to be approached by a lot more companies. The great ones have kind of done it all the time. You know, I remember having bosses 20 something years ago that were really, really, you know, before EI was cool. It was,
that's fair. That's
yeah, fair. They were really caring about things, and they created a culture where, and I was working in IT at the time, and that was during the .com era when things were zany and, you know, salary.
You going back that far, Michael? .com?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
This is when you put your head down and actually didn't, you just had to work and the motion was.
Well, yeah, it was just, and a lot of companies were that way. You know, my generation is, while we agree it's very important, you know, we grew up in an environment where it really wasn't the common situation. So we just knew, you grind it out.
Do you remember the phrase, you know, you leave your frustrations, leave your personal life at the door and come in and start working?
Yeah.
Those days are long.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're long gone because what it did is it created these multiple personalities for and work life and home life. And, you know, they say work life balance, and I'm more of a work life harmony type of thing.
It's integration. Yeah.
You're one person, and there's going to be seasons that are going to be busier than others. There's going to be times where your home life is going to be more demanding of you than work, maybe. And you harmonize that. And
that's right.
And great. Segmenting, some people can do it, but most it's very difficult. So understanding that when your boss or your employees are bringing some baggage to work, and it's because they're a caregiver or the loved one's sick or loved one lost their job or their kid's screwing up in school or whatever. There's all kinds of things that go on. And understanding that and knowing, okay, you know, do we have some leeway here where you can take the afternoon off if you need to deal with something, or we understand, okay, maybe I'm not going to sign this project to you this time because you're dealing with that, but the next one's coming up in a month. You think things will be calmed down, then we'll assign it there. So it's basically, I look at it this way. We have, as business owners and employers and employees as well, more information than we did before.
Oh, so no contest.
We can utilize to say, okay, now that we have all this information, what can we do with the pieces that we have, the people we have and resources and all that to make this project, launch, whatever, successful? And the more information we have on it and we can allocate accordingly, the more likely we're going to be successful. And instead of just here's this, go. And it siloed, it's not going to work anymore.
You're bringing up something that I'm talking a lot about now is the connecting of the communication piece. And I got to tell you something, Michael. People say they're good communicators, or they say, communication is a good skill I have or a strong skill set. But people just, they're not present enough or not focused enough and don't really understand the intricacies of effective communication, because that's what you just talked about. All that's around communication. And by the way, people don't feel like they're communicated to in a certain way. I call it connecting like a pro. They don't feel heard, like you talked about. People are allowed to bring in things from their personal life and actually talk about it. Even at work, I'll point to your burnout. They get burned out quickly, very quickly. Like, I'm not being heard. I'm not liking what I'm doing. Then they start to feel burnt out, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more. And I think awareness of it is more present. Before, they're just like, okay, why do I feel this way? And now that there's been enough of us talking about it and bringing awareness to it, people are recognizing, okay, I think I might be burned out. Now, it may not be complete burnout for them. It may just be overwhelming fatigue that hasn't reached burnout state. And others, it might be full blown alarms blaring burnout.
And they don't like what they're doing. They don't like who they report to. I mean, it's all, it's really complexity.
Exactly. And it's one of those, you know, look yourself in the mirror type of thing. And yeah, you can always, you know, leave that organization, go work somewhere else. But there's a good chance that you may go to an organization that same way.
There's pluses and minuses when you leave. It does start to show up pretty quickly. It just does.
Yeah.
I know people are taking jobs in 30 days and like, wow, I can't believe I made that decision.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because
you know enough about the culture.
Exactly. It's a lot like dating. They're going to put their best foot forward. And we do that as candidates, too. And then the honeymoon wears off.
Don't get me started about dating. Don't get me started.
Yeah, I'm thankfully out of that game. No. You know, real quick story. A close family member who is single, you know, somebody asked him not too long ago, and it was a kind of a play on of what's going on in the world at the time during the pandemic. And he said, you know, why haven't you, you know, found anybody you want to go out with? And they said, supply chain issues. And I kind of look at that like that.
That's a really interesting phrase.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's like maybe you need to look at a different supply chain mechanism, you know, find a different market. I don't know. But at end of the day, it's, you know, when people leave organizations, you got to debrief yourself. So, okay, what did I like about what didn't I? What was my role in that? And a lot of people don't look at that. They just they point.
Well, now you're getting back to emotional intelligence, Michael.
Of course.
You're going back. That's a huge thing you just talked about. Sometimes you call themselves memorializing the process. But if you're able to reflect, one of the things I like to talk about, and I'm really big, especially to the younger generation, you can talk about it with the, I want to say older millennials now, Gen X, some boomers still left in the workplace for sure. You need a personal board of advisors, Michael. You need a, I'm so passionate about this. You need a person, by the way, that can be fluid and can be dynamic, but you need people that you trust that should be, depending on your age and your experience level, they should be older to give you that advice, or more experienced, I should say. And you need to be tapping in before you make these big decisions. What are your thoughts on that, Michael? Because I'm really...
Oh, I am fully on board with that, because you want those people to hold you accountable, for one. Number two, call you out on your bullshit.
Right.
Sometimes we just sell ourselves up and we think this is a great idea. And we're, you know, full on romance of this new endeavor, this new rollout, whatever. You know, a colleague of mine, and she, you know, publicly declares that she has ADHD. So she's always, and she has a board of advisors that she uses because she launches businesses like, you know, everybody wakes up in the morning, you know, she probably launched three businesses this morning or is trying to, but she finally realized, okay, wait a minute, this is not working. So she, you know, started building up her board of directors that she has, and they're key people that know her both either personally or professionally, from their business strengths to their personal strengths and all that. And anything that she wants to launch, she has to run it by them, including with the, you know, the smart analysis and, you know, all the other stuff. You know, they've come up with some tools to look at it, because you see, oh, that'd be a great idea. And then when you go through that exercise, and some people with ADHD don't like going through that. My wife has it. She publicly declares as well. She says, if it's more than six steps, I'm not doing it. So guess who gets to do a lot on some things?
Sure. Sure.
Like, you know, switching our hydro, or as they call it in Canada, electric and, you know, utilities provider in our condo building is switching. So you had to set up the account and all that kind of stuff. And she looked at it, she said, I'm not doing that. I'm like, okay. You know, it was like five steps, but, you know, I won't tell her that. It was quick, but I'll make so. Oh, it was like 30 steps. I'm so glad you gave that to me. You know, yeah, juice it up. But she could read through me too. But long story short, having that board of directors is so critically important, because it will help you maintain course, because we easily can suffer from shiny object disease or syndrome or whatever you want to call it. That's a great idea. That's the greatest thing ever. Oh, there's this AI tool that does this. Oh, wait a minute. There's this new speaker platform that does this. Oh, there's this new market that I could speak to on this. All worth investigating in time, but you know, going back to what I do every morning, it's like, okay, what are the two or three things that I must do today? Period. Full stop. Before I do anything else, what are they? That's going to move myself forward, my business forward, whatever. What should I be working on today? And then if something comes up, you write it down and then you can reprioritize it.
I do want to say, to piggyback on what you're talking about, it's really important for people that are listening to this, it's really important to understand when people give you feedback, you need to be able to reflect and you need to be able to look inward and say, okay, what am I going to do to be better emotionally? The checking the box on tactical things, they're giving you advice on technical things, they're giving you advice on you should do this, you should do that. That's a lot, but that's what a lot of advising that goes on. It's when people say to them, let me talk to you about Johari's window. Let me talk about where your blind spots are that you don't even see. What are you going to do about it emotionally? How are you going to pivot? How are you going to self-regulate? How are you going to catch yourself in the action so you can be better? Those are the really hard things to do in life. Let's just say in life. And I feel like when you get your personal board of advisors, those of you that are listening, you need to make sure that these people are candid, they're transparent, and that you're open to feedback. And if you don't have those three things, don't even bother having them because you're wasting their time. And you're wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to look within. And that doesn't mean what they say won't sting. It's your natural reaction.
It's going to sting, depending on the ego, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you have to kind of take a step back and go, That's okay, right. Thank you for that. Calm yourself down, whether mindfulness or stepping away or revisit it the next day, whatever. But come at it from a different perspective. And
healthy perspective, hopefully. Hopefully, healthy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because our perception of things sometimes initially is wrong. Just, and a lot of that has to do with our negative brain, which was the first real part of the brain that developed in the first place because we're meant to protect ourselves. So you have to that stung a little bit, but understand that they weren't coming at it in a way to attack you. They want you to be the best and you want to be the best. It's you versus you.
These are hand-selected personal board of advisors, meaning if you selected them, you should think that their intentions are healthy. That's right.
Of course, yeah, because things can change, and you may, they could say something and maybe they're having an off day or something and they may come back and say, what I said to you yesterday, that was a little too harsh. I apologize for that. We're all human. We're going to do things, but ultimately and you mentioned this a few minutes ago that I want to circle back to you real quick. In the communication side of things is being present. When you're talking with somebody and if they're typing on their screen or they're looking at their iBinky, they're not looking at you and listening. For me, when someone's talking to me, I'll, do my best to put down the technology, look away from screen, look at them. If they say something that I need to reflect on for a minute, I'll kind of stare off for a minute and go, all right, let me think about that for a second.
Good.
Just let them know. But being present is not just when you're listening to people, but just in general. It's so much we miss when our thoughts are all over the map. So do your best to figure out how to be present in everything you do, and you'll get the clarity to be able to lead, have communication, think about things. I know in this instant world, we're so used to instantaneous responses, answers, feedback, all of that. And sometimes that's just not possible. So be okay with things taking time. But again, it's in leadership and in life, which both start with the letter L, it's very important to recognize that, you're a leader of your life. And if you live your life the best way possible by being the best version of you, it fixes so many things.
Oh, yeah. Take accountability too. And own it. Yeah. And own it is the other thing. People don't own who they are. That annoys me.
Yeah, they don't own who they are. And there's a lack of accountability all over the place.
Yeah. The mentality. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, even during, my burnout saga and journey or whatever you want to call it, I never played the victim. I didn't blame anybody.
You're healthier than most.
I blame me. Yeah, I blame me.
Sure.
But then I realized, well, that's not going to do any good either. So understand and go back to it and say, all right, what, you know, what was my thought process around this? Why was this important to me? But do it in a curiosity type of way and not a condemning way. And I found that helped me, one, heal a lot faster, and two, you know, recognize those signs as they come up. And, you know, we are our own petri dish in a way. We're kind of our own experiments, and, you know, be careful what you experiment with. That's just a side note, public service announcement. But at the end of the day, you know, tinker around with you and learn new things and stretch yourself and push yourself. You know, the things that I know now, of course, I didn't know when I launched this business, and I know a lot more, still a lot to learn. But you know what? That's the whole journey, is just learning different things and coming up with different perspectives on things and going, oh, wow, that's actually a big challenge for people right now. Okay, how can I help address that for people just to be helpful? Maybe I can't, but somebody does. So you connect those people with each other and makes the world better. So it's just all about giving and understanding and taking care of yourself and making sure that you lead the best version of you. Because when you do that, it's amazing how that horrible workplace suddenly isn't so horrible.
That's right. That's right.
So where do you see things going in the next few years? I know that's like the ultimate, who the hell knows, but
what, as it relates to what? I mean,
I think to
going all different directions.
Yeah, I know we had mentioned, you know, emotional intelligence is a thing. Where do you see something in addition to that? Or
so there's something they're adding on to it now. There's the EQ side or the intelligence side. There's the EI side, which is the emotional intelligence. And now there's this social quotient that people are adding on. So it's a third element of emotional intelligence. Now, when you take a look at EI, there's self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. And they're taking that empathy and social skills, and they're actually, so they're adding a third pillar, and that they want people to be better socially, connect better with people. So I think they're making that their own pillar. I do think that's going to get some traction, a lot of traction for sure.
It reminds me, and this is kind of a what is old is new again. I remember in the early days of my career in the 20th century, you know,
I remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got vague memories of it. Uh-huh. Some years are better than others, but I do remember them, where in a lot of workplaces, yeah, you got the work done. Yeah. It was difficult conversations. There was things like that, but you did things after work and you knew people, and it wasn't like superficial. I mean, yeah, you knew some people better than others, but you know, the CPA firm that I worked at, you know, I knew everybody there. I knew their family, I knew their upbringing. I knew all the things about them because we just had conversations and we talked while we worked. And yes, there was cubicles in there. So yeah, there was walled silos kind of thing, but we didn't let that get in our way of knowing people. And you go into workplaces now and you have people that have worked together 3 or 4 years, so they don't know anything about each other.
So I want to let me interject here for a second. So I have the fortunate experience of working with this younger generation, and they're not socialized, meaning because some of them are working fully remote, to your point. And I'm asking them, what's the connection like? And they're like, there is no connection. None. I don't even know them. I haven't met them yet, to your point. So that socialization aspect, where the millennials are used to it because they were at work, we, Generation X, I'm assuming we're roughly the same experience level. We had that. That's the only thing we had, boomers, of course. But that socialization piece is a big miss right now. So if you are fully remote and you have younger generations, I have the fortunate experience to work with some incredible companies that require the younger generation has to be in work for the first 2 years, and then they have to earn the right to work remotely. They love it, by the way. They also have a head of happiness, which is nobody has a head of happiness.
That's an important role, I think, every organization.
Absolutely.
Strongly look at that.
This, to me, this puts a bow on what you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, remote situation. Another option for people, if there's one in their area, is, and there's one not too far from me that I use from time to time, is, you know, one of those remote workplaces where it's a shared space where there's a bunch of people working for different companies and they all rent this, you know, a room or a desk or something like that.
I love that.
Different companies. But guess what? They've built a community.
I love that.
And there, everybody knows that.
Coffee shops below. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's coffee. They got beer and wine there now.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, you know, those, I checked, the taps were flowing at 7 a.m. Now it's, you know, I'm like, I know. But as a good friend told me that, and this made me laugh when she said this. You know, she said, you know, you drink while you're working. I'm like, no, that's not cool. I said, look, you just pour whatever you drink. Exactly. Yeah. You see, what you do is if they think you're drinking, you just pour it into a coffee mug and then occasionally just blow on the coffee because it's, you know, hot, and you take a sip of whatever beverage you're drinking. No one's going to know. I'm like, I'm Irish. I acknowledge that is a really good thing to do, but no, I'm not going to do that. But nice idea. If I gave anybody a pro tip, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just sharing information. But end of the day, there's ways to be creative. And it's like, we have this issue. Okay. What do we do to address it? What are some ideas that we can come up to make it a little bit better? I love that company's ideas. Like, earn your remote time.
Yeah. And by the way, that people want to come into work still. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's highly unique.
I find as somebody that works remote a lot and then goes, and you know, I'm sure you're in the same situation, you know, when you were remote, but then you'd go out and do keynotes and things like that. It's like seeing other human beings is something that we're...
I love the balance. I love the balance.
Too.
But I love, by the way, you said something about, I mean, people are coming back full force to these conferences, events, summits.
Yep.
I mean, people haven't seen each other, even especially in Canada, as you know. I mean, that was a full shutdown. At least in the States, it came back earlier. It is. These events are going to get more and more popular, by the way. I can see it. The way people are just fired up to be around people. So good. I haven't seen you. It's nice to see you put a face with a name.
Right.
Even though they do the virtual, it's not quite the same.
No.
As you know.
Yeah, it's not the same. Just like, you know, these interviews, if they were in person, it'd be a different dynamic. But thankfully, the technology exists, so we can.
It's not bad.
No, it works for me. But Paul, I'd love this conversation. Where can people find out more about you and all this amazing work you're doing?
So, a couple of places. Certainly, paulbramson.com. That's PaulBramson.com, and on my LinkedIn, I'm on there, very active on LinkedIn, and appreciate the connection, the following, and I'll be following up with additional content that piggybacks a lot of things we just talked about. So paulbramson.com and certainly on LinkedIn at Paul Bramson.
We'll definitely have that in the show notes. So Paul, thank you again for your time today and the awesome work you're doing. You're making the world better. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for listening to the Breakfast Leadership Show, part of the Breakfast Leadership Network. Visit breakfastleadership.com for tips on empowering your business and your life.